Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the Heritage Connection, brought to you by the folks here at the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society in Washington County, Wisconsin. Our mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy, and this podcast is one more way we're trying to make those connections. I'm your host, Justin Agar Pratt, and I'm joined by my co-host, Bella Bussey. Bella, how are you today?
Doing well.
Good, good. Welcome to the show, officially.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Good, good. If you haven't listened to episode 15, which is the last full episode that we did, go back and give it a listen. You'll get to know Bella a little bit more. And in that episode, we announced that Bella would be joining the show as a co-host, co-writer, co-researcher, which is going to be great. We've got a new format, so we're moving to a seasonal format. Our goal is 10 episodes per season. We're going to give ourselves room for, you know, maybe 10 to 12 in case we have two-parters. I'm thinking like interviews or something like that that might go really long. And then we'll take a three-week hiatus and we'll be back. So up until this point, we've been releasing every other week. We think the seasonal format will be nice and, you know, there's always room for improvement. So if we find out it's not working, we can always change it, right? So this month marks the 60th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And in light of this tragic anniversary, we're going to highlight JFK's visit to Washington County. Bella, did you know that JFK visited Washington County?
Not before researching.
Yeah, yeah. All I really knew about it was we had this picture in our collection.
Uh-huh.
And it's the most popular, one of the most popular photos we've posted on our social media channels since I've been here anyways. And it's you're familiar with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's standing down on Main Street, West Bend, and in the background is the marquee of what is now the Bend, what mm-hmm. was then the West Bend Theater. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But I didn't really know anything about his visit. So he visited on February 17th, 1960. And this was part of a whirlwind campaign tour before the April primary. So Wisconsin actually played a significant role in the early days of Kennedy's campaign. I didn't realize this, but he actually announced his candidacy in Milwaukee in January of 1960.
I didn't know that either.
And the April 5th primary would be the first really big test of JFK's presidential run. There had been one before that in New Hampshire, I believe, but I don't even think anyone else was on the ticket.
Mm.
And this was one where Hubert Humphrey was primarying against him. And Kennedy ended up winning the Wisconsin primary by 12 points. So we're going to take a look at that February campaign stop here in West Bend. So again, it was February 17th, 1960, and this was a busy day for then Senator Kennedy. And it doesn't really seem like a whole lot of people knew, I mean, now everyone knows JFK's face,
mm-hmm.
right? But it sounds like not a lot of people would have recognized him. I mean, he was a junior senator from Massachusetts. We obviously didn't have social media at the time. They hadn't even had the first televised presidential debate mm-hmm. at this point. So like I said, February 17th, busy day for Senator Kennedy. Not only did he visit West Bend, he also made stops at Port Washington, Mayville, Beaver Dam, and Fond du Lac.
Hmm.
So while he was in West Bend, Kennedy spoke at the VFW. He stopped at the O'Mara House for lunch. And where the O'Mara family comes in here is Tom O'Mara Jr. was the head of the Washington County Democratic Party in the 60s. So he had invited JFK to visit. And as I was researching this, there's an article where Tom O'Mara III talked about, you know, he was at school that day, so he didn't get to meet then Senator Kennedy when he stopped by the house. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the O'Maras are Irish. Kennedy's got Irish heritage. And so he said, you know, his father and Mr. Kennedy talked about their Irish heritage, among other things. So
mm-hmm.
that's the O'Mara connection. Later on his way to the Merrimack Hotel, downtown West Bend, which, do you know what that is today?
It's the Washington House.
The Washington House. I thought so. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to double check that before we recorded this episode, and then I didn't. So thank you for picking up my slack. So he's on his way down to the Washington House, and so he's shaking hands, greeting people, stopping cars, and someone stopped and snapped his photo on Main Street. And that's that photo that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And again, you can see the Benz marquee in the background. You know, as I referenced earlier, the photo is in our collection. And we've posted it a few times on Instagram, Facebook. And if you're familiar with that photo, that's Tom O'Meara Jr. to Kennedy's right. And we don't know who the man on the left is. So if you've seen this photo and you know if this is your grandpa or uncle or dad, let us know, because we'd like to have an ID on that. What do you think of this photograph, Bella?
When I first saw it, I just kind of thought, it's just interesting because his assassination kind of triggered Secret Service to come about more and, you know, protect even candidates from a year towards their election. So that him being out in the open, shaking hands, stopping cars, like, it's just interesting to think about.
That's a good point.
Today's terms.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Because, I mean, and, you know, I'm sure he had some sort of entourage with him. But, yeah, and it's a great, just like, I mean, like the person just stepped right in front and got this great picture of him. He's smiling. You can see they're in their overcoats. So it must have been a cold day that they were visiting. And and that marquee being in the background that doesn't quite get the whole thing. And aesthetically, like, it would be really great, right, if it got the whole marquee. And I don't know if that was someone, you know, whoever snapped the photo. I don't know if they were like, oh, this is a big deal. Like, I should get this. I don't know if that was purposeful, like, oh, I'm going to mark the occasion of his visit to West Bend by having the name West Bend in the background from the marquee. Or maybe that was just a happy accident.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And it's great that it's in color, too. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we've got something very special that's new to our collection. And I'm not going to say anything more than that until we get back from the break. But it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be back shortly. And we're back. So we're talking about JFK's visit to Washington County, West Bend specifically. And before we took our break, I teased something related to this visit. And I'm super excited to tell our listeners about this, Bella.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, within the last few weeks, we received a donation, and it was a copy of the audio from JFK's visit to West Bend. Mm-hmm. And this is great. They're short clips, but the quality is so good. And it just, for me, it like really brought another dimension to this visit.
Totally.
I mean, I had known that he had been here, but there have been, I don't know, a little more than half dozen presidents and presidential candidates who have visited Washington County that I've seen photos of.
Mm-hmm.
But this like brought just another dimension for me to the photo, right? Mm-hmm. We've got the photo, we've got the audio, and we know it was recorded right here in West Bend at the VFW, which is pretty cool. So we're going to play each of those clips for you now. So you'll get a chance to listen for yourself. And then Bella and I will discuss what we hear. So let's hear the first clip.
First of all, welcome to West Bend, Senator. In your tour of Wisconsin, what are the topics Badger residents are most interested in?
Well, I get really yesterday, which was our first day of touring the state, we were asked about farm income and its decline, the missile gap, what I thought of our preparedness, and thirdly, about education and what I thought the federal government ought to do about it.
This question, Senator, to those who do not wish to talk about the real issues, how do you answer the question of religion when opponents say that your allegiance to the Pope and precepts of the Church will affect your decisions as president?
Well, of course, that's completely wrong. I have been in Congress for 14 years and swear each time I am accepted in the Congress to defend the Constitution. The Constitution provides for the separation of church and state. So quite obviously the Pope has no nor would he make any effort to control or influence public policy. Religion's a private matter and has so been regarded in the United States. Now, some countries do not provide for separation of church and state. In England, for example, the Queen is head of the Church of England and also Queen of England. The Archbishop of Canterbury sits in the House of Lords. In other countries, the ties are close, but they have a different historical experience. In the United States, the Constitution has supported the idea of independence for the church and of churches and independence for the state, various states. I believe in that. I also believe in the Constitution, which provides that there shall be no religious test for office in the United States. The fact is that if anyone is going to be wrongly influenced by their religion, and I always think that people are beneficially well influenced by their religion, of course, then they shouldn't hold any office. Because I swear the same oath the president swears. If I couldn't meet it as chief executive, I certainly couldn't meet it as senator.
An interesting question, I think, is this one, Senator. A political analyst sees a stalemate between you and other leading candidates at the Democratic Convention, and he sees further that a dark horse will be chosen, and he is Stevenson, the dark horse, who loses to Nixon, but in 64, Kennedy is twice as strong and goes on to be president. What do you think of that?
Well, that's we all enjoy our views of what is going to happen. I wish I was as sure of anything as he is of how these elections are going to come out. Actually, I don't think there will be a stalemate. I think this Wisconsin primary is going to have the greatest possible effect. I think if it's possible to win this primary, I personally feel that I would be in a strong position at Los Angeles. And I would therefore feel that at the end of the primaries, and I'm running in seven across the country, we'll have a much better idea who's going to be the next nominee.
I know, Senator, that you're interested to go on to your next appointment. We have one question that probably you could spend a book answering, but I think the answer will be of interest to the folks here in the West Bend area. Leading Magazine has the question these days, what's wrong and what's right with today's America? Some responses were, we don't feel a need to strive for anything. Some talk about corruption, softness. Some say silly sentimentality about children, that they're pampered. Some say we have to be inspired. Others, an erosion of our morality. And former President Hoover said, there is a slump in morals, a moral apathy. Senator, briefly, what's wrong, what's right in America?
Well, I suppose we are face to face with the most serious competition now taking place in the world between the communist and ourselves as to which system is going to survive, whether the system of freedom is better or whether the communist system is better. Now, the communists have made extraordinary progress in 40 years. They mobilize all of the resources of the state, human and material, for the service of the state. Here in this country, we pursue a course of freedom and independence and liberty. It's abused in some cases, but I must say, for me, it's the great system. And it represents really the most difficult but important method of governing, which I think people have devised. So that I would believe that the future is bright. I do think we have to recognize that in addition to developing our own private interest, it's also necessary for us to recognize the public interest. To be willing not only to attempt to move ahead ourselves, but also to advance the interests of this country, which is the great defender of freedom now. So we've always worried about ourselves, which is a good thing. It's only by being concerned that you move ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Senator. We've had, during the past couple of years, guests in front of our microphone, Senator Proxmire, Governor Nelson, and Justice Hallows was our guest. We hope that in November we can add another little notch here.
Thank you very much. Well, I appreciate it. And we want to express my appreciation to the community because they were very generous to my sister and myself when we were here today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's that first clip. Again, the quality I think is great. And it just like brings that even more to life for me. Mm-hmm. What about for you?
He's such an incredible speaker,
yeah,
too. You can see why people said, oh, he's so charming, you know, he really knows how to target an audience. Mm-hmm. Like, it just really comes out.
For sure, yeah. What are some of your initial thoughts as you go through the speech?
I think one thing that really stood out to me, I guess it's kind of more towards the middle of the clip, but when he's asked, you know, what's wrong and what's right with today's America,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, they laid out pampered children and entitlement and the lack of need to strive for anything, corruption, uh-huh. no inspiration. I think that we have the same issues.
The erosion of morals, right? Yeah.
They pop up nowadays just as they did back then. So, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wrote down a quote. He's talking kind of just after that part. He's talking about, you know, as he put it, communism versus freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And this quote I wrote down is that he was referring to democracy as the most difficult but important method of governing. And I think we're seeing today the difficulty of democracy.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as of this recording, the House of Representatives now, just as of like an hour ago, got a speaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm not trying to weigh in on the either political side of that, but like, democracy is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our democracy has been through a lot of tests over the last, you know, however many years. And it's like, yeah, it is a difficult thing. It's interesting that he, when he was asked what he thought the three main issues were at that time, it was the farm income decline, which this is a very agricultural area,
mm-hmm.
the missile gap, kind of referencing those Cold War arms races, and then education. And then they switched to religion.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, he became the first Catholic president. He didn't know at the time that he was going to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk about this, I can't remember if it was a specific political pundit or multiple, and their like prediction was that Stevenson, Adlai Stevenson from Illinois, was going to come up and become the nominee in 1960 for mm-hmm. the Democratic Party, lose to Nixon, but then that JFK would be elected in 64.
Mm.
And it's just interesting. I mean, we have the hindsight of history, right, to look back on. It's just interesting when you hear those predictions that don't turn out to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And tragically, Kennedy wouldn't even be alive in 64.
Right.
Which is kind of eerie.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else from that clip that really stood out to you?
I guess me as a writer, I pay attention to verbiage too,
mm-hmm.
and just the word choice, you know. And he, when he was talking about communists versus ourselves, he used the words freedom and independence when talking about the U.S., but also used the word liberty. So
mm-hmm.
he just does a good job of taking words that coincide with the American identity, and they just kind of jump out at me when he's talking.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool. Well, let's listen to the next clip and then we'll discuss it.
All of you people present here to meet Senator Kennedy, and as you know, he's a candidate for the presidential election on the Democratic ticket. He would like to meet all of you people. But first, he would like to make a few remarks. And prior to that, however, Mayor Walter Schmidt is present. And although our offices in the city of West Bend are nonpartisan, and the mayor has his own battle here this coming spring election, just as the senator has, Mayor Schmidt would like to present to the senator a little gift. Senator, as you know, the city of West Bend is famous for not only products that are sold locally, but also for national-wide distribution of West Bend aluminum products, products of the Amity leather products, Gale Brothers products, Pick Manufacturing, Anger Crest, and other industries. And so that the senator will remember the city of West Bend, the mayor would like to present to him a gift from the city of West Bend, both for the senator and also a gift for his wife. These, incidentally, Senator, are pocketbooks of the Amity Lather Products Company, which you probably have seen advertised.
We want to thank the mayor and the committee and all of you for coming today and taking part in this meeting, and we're most grateful for these, and we will find something to put in it. I want to express my appreciation for your coming in the snow and the cold weather to this meeting today. Governor Stevenson once said that it would be nice if the Florida primary could be held in the winter and the Wisconsin primary could be held in the summer, but unfortunately, it isn't arranged that way, and therefore we are traveling today, and we'll be traveling for the next month and a half throughout this state in order to try to bring home to the people of Wisconsin the facts about this primary, and in order that the various candidates may present their point of view to the people of this state. It is a most interesting fact that here in Wisconsin, which is not the largest state in the Union, which is a state some miles away from Washington, which is not going to be the scene of either presidential convention, that here in the state of Wisconsin may well be determined who shall be the nominee for the Democratic Party at Los Angeles. It's not going to be New York with 115 delegates. It's not going to be Pennsylvania with 85, or California with 85, or Illinois or Ohio. Here in this primary, because the people of this state have given the various candidates the opportunity to submit their names in this primary, and as this is the first great contested primary of the 1960 presidential year, it may be that the people of Wisconsin, in the heart of the Midwest, are going to make a determination as to who should be the nominee of the party at Los Angeles. That is a great opportunity and a great responsibility, and it is for this reason that I and others are traveling this state in the days to come. I think this is a most important election. There are a great many people who say that there are no longer any important issues, that all the things that had to be done were done by Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman, or by Woodrow Wilson, or in the days past, and that the chief function of government now is to administer the programs which have been passed in the days before. I don't agree with that. There are a great many problems that this country still has to face. The decline in agricultural income in the last 2 years has brought the American farmer the lowest income that he's had since 1942. And I say it's impossible for the state of Massachusetts, for the urban centers of this country to be prosperous unless American agriculture is also prosperous. And it is impossible for American agriculture to be prosperous unless the cities and towns of the East and the far West are also prosperous. This is a completely interdependent economy, and you cannot move ahead unless the farmers and the small businessmen and the working people of this country all share in a general well-being. So this is an important election, for it does give us an opportunity to discuss the issues, the decline in agricultural income, the failure of the United States to produce enough schools and enough well-paid teachers, the problems of the management of our great national debt, the problem of our increase in our interest rates, which means that even though we may have almost the same national debt as we had in 1947, we are spending $3.5 billion more than we spent in 1947 on interest on our debt. If you buy a house today for $20,000, and you have a 30-year mortgage, you will pay a total price for that house of $43,000. $20,000 for the house, and over a 30-year period, $23,000 in interest payments. That is $9,000 more than you would have paid 8 years ago. $9,000 more that doesn't furnish a single piece of furniture that could be used to expand the house or to be put in the bank. When you buy a car, you pay the same great increase in your interest rate. When any of you who are farmers buy farm implements on time, you pay a higher interest rate of 2 or 3% than you would have paid in 1952 or 1951. And therefore, there are great problems. The management of our debt, all of these problems, I think, are going to come to bear in 1960 and 1961. Many economists predict a recession in 61 and 62. In the 58 recession, we had 6 million people out of work. We had a $12 billion deficit for that 1 year, the highest peacetime deficit in our history. The most expensive spending by the government is a failure to keep our economy moving, because a drop in tax revenues unbalances our budget far more than expenditures for defense or for domestic purposes. So that's what this election is about. It's not a political exercise. It's not a ceremony. It is an opportunity for candidates and both parties to come before the American people and give their views
and hear the American people give theirs. And therefore, I'm delighted to be here in this community today. I shall be in this state over the next 6 or 7 weeks. I shall be a wiser man when I leave, and also, I hope, a happier man. Thank you very much.
So clip number two, obviously much more of like a campaign speech.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting that they talked about the gift.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder whatever happened to those.
Like, right? He's like, we'll figure out something to put in these.
Right. That was great. That was a nice personal touch. I've never been to his like presidential library. I wonder if maybe they're like on display or
maybe.
Something. It's interesting. Or maybe they're in the family still. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I thought that it was really endearing that he called Wisconsin the heart of the Midwest.
You know, I mean, obviously he's a politician,
right?
So he's going to try and say the right things.
Absolutely.
At the right time. But as we, again, with the hindsight of history, he talked about the importance of Wisconsin being the first great contested primary of the 1960 primary, and that was true.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, you know, Wisconsin would be making the determination of the nominee, and Wisconsin did go with Kennedy. He won by 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
And he later ended up becoming the nominee and then obviously elected president. So there was some truth to that. Speaking specifically about, you know, his comments about Wisconsin, He mentioned specifically the snow and the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were talking about that photo of him, we mentioned the big coats and the scarves and everything. So it must have been, you know, really a cold day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did have that little light touch of humor talking about, you know, Florida and Wisconsin switching their primaries.
Right.
That still hasn't really happened. We're still in April.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was interesting that he pointed out, and I have not done extensive research on the 1960 election, but he was, you know, saying that, you know, some people are saying there are no problems to be solved, that FDR and Truman and Wilson solved all of them. And I'm like, oh, boy. I mean, that's something that's like a stark contrast to today, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you could probably take a poll of I don't know how many people, and I don't know that you would find anyone who would say, well, there are no issues.
Right. I know.
So that's kind of interesting. I don't know. Again, I don't know what the national mood was at the time or what people were saying, but apparently there were people who thought, you know, this was just, yep, we're going to have an election because we have to.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned at the end that it's not just a political exercise or ceremonial, but there are important issues.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned the decline of agricultural income and really talked about, I mean, as a politician, right, he did a nice job of threading that, like, you know, the base of a prosperous nation is having successful and well-paid farmers,
mm-hmm.
as well as prosperous cities and towns and folks on the coast. So he mm-hmm. really, like, tied those things together and called it an interdependent economy.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, he specifically mentioned farmers, small businesses, and working people, which when you look at Washington County, especially in 1960, farmers, small businesses, and working people.
Right.
He knew who he was talking to.
Exactly,
right?
He did. He knew his audience.
Yeah, yeah. I think that first clip is really, it seems like a more intimate conversation, kind of more Kennedy the man versus Kennedy the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, just this brought this visit more to life for me. Like I said, other presidents and presidential candidates have come through. I know Reagan was here in the 80s when he was president.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be great if there's any video or audio of that. Mm-hmm. I know we have some pictures. FDR came through on his train.
Mm-hmm.
Bush Sr. came through on his train. I think it was just he was passing through.
Mm.
And there are a couple of other presidential connections with Washington County. So again, to bring any of those more to life with audio or video would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having that chat with me and listening mm-hmm. to those clips with me. I hope you all enjoyed listening to those clips as well. Before we go, Bella, what's going on with you? What's new in your world?
Well, I just started a little part-time gig in addition to my freelance writing jobs.
Oh, where is that at?
I'm actually like the front desk reception for the newspaper. So right up the road.
Where the newspaper that you're writing for?
Yes.
And for those who maybe missed the first episode, which newspaper is that?
It is the Washington County Daily News.
Great. Okay. So you're doing your freelance writing and you've got the front desk job as well.
Yep.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, nice. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Well, as of recording this, October is still, it's still October. So just my three-year-old is trying to decide what to be for trick-or-treat this year.
Uh-huh.
The options that she has brought up are Santa Claus, a pumpkin, and Owlette from PJ Masks. Do you know PJ Masks?
No.
I didn't either until she introduced I don't know how she found out about it, but she doesn't even have free reign of the TV, so it must have been a babysitter or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a kid's show, and so we'll see what she ends up dressing
how cute.
Up as. So, yeah. All right. Well, Bella, thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to have you as part of the show, and I look forward to having you continue on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Heritage Connection, brought to you by the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society, whose mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy. See you next time!